Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Dan.
Oh, jeez. It's a meme, apparently.
I guess it's going around.
I guess my favorite part of that story, and for listeners, you are now just completely befuddled about what this is. That was a thing that Tiff Arment started saying to me when we were playing Among Us, and apparently repeated enough that now Adam, their son, just walks around saying it, though he has no idea who I am.
He doesn't know who Dan is.
Nope, it's true.
We are all Dan. Are we?
That's my favorite TV show, Jason, For All Dankind.
I do, premiering next week. I've seen episode one. It was really good.
I heard.
I took a couple days off at the beginning of the week, which was really nice, but you wrote an article.
Did I? Was it
about
who
home,
remembers what
about
happened this
home
week?
Automation? While I
oh
was
oh my god,
not
Jason,
working.
I'm just this morning I've been banging my head against some HomeKit stuff. So, it's so up and down, Sometimes stuff is great, and you don't notice it, and sometimes stuff is terrible, and you cannot figure out why.
Yeah,
that's where we're at.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, I guess that's true. The losing is worse. Let's all agree.
Home automation is one of the things that I put on my list, which I put on my list of things that Apple could potentially do to bulk up Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
Is really lean into the home automation stuff, and you know, throw in a. Like, if they threw in compatibility with a bunch of the home wireless standards so that, like, you didn't have to buy a little puck and plug it in somewhere to get it on your network because the Apple TV was already broadcasting it. And they could update the software to maybe support more sophisticated automations, like some of the stuff that you were suggesting, you know, like last week we talked about the streaming audio and stuff like that from a particular streaming URL or things like that, where, like, have it just be a more sophisticated kind of device. That's one way that they could put some more value into Apple TV.
What interests me about that, as I wrote in my Macworld piece about HomeKit this week, was the HomePod Mini has a Thread radio, which is one of those protocols.
Yeah, I assume that a future Apple TV might also have a Thread radio.
But it's a little weird because if you read the footnote on the HomePod Mini page, it says it's only compatible with HomeKit compatible Thread devices. But Thread is a standard that has, like, you know, there are things you have to do in order to meet the Thread standard.
Right.
And I guess part of me would think one of those is not be compatible with only your own protocols and devices. But suggest that perhaps that's a foothold for something with this whole interconnectivity standard.
Yeah. Yeah. The connected home. Thing,
but they put it in there, right? Which says something to me because it's not as though Thread devices are super widespread,
right?
For HomeKit right now, I saw. I think Eve added support for that through some of theirs that have it. So, like, if you have one that has both Bluetooth and Thread, it can now use Thread if you have a HomePod Mini. But yeah, it's a little weird because they built that in and it doesn't do anything as far as I can tell, or it doesn't do very much. But yeah, adding that to the Apple TV would seem to make a lot of sense because I hate having six different hubs connected. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And there should just be something in one device that talks to all of those devices. That's it.
Yeah. There so I'll pile that on the list. Yeah, I made the mistake of writing an article with a question in the headline, and so everybody gave me an answer. Fair enough. My mistake. No, I was kind of curious because I have struggled to try and figure out as Apple removes, they're not removing features from the Apple TV, but they're removing exclusive features from the Apple TV, right? Mm-hmm. In the sense that they're Apple's larger ambitions have led to AirPlay. Well, okay, they've led to the TV app being on kind of everything that's a modern box, and I had a bunch of people respond and say, my TV doesn't do this, and it's like, yeah, that's not my point. My point is that for $35, you can buy a 4K box that does the TV app, right? Like, and it'll do Apple TV, and it'll do or Apple TV Plus, and it'll also do all your iTunes movies and all your purchases, and you can do rentals, and all those things are in there, and it's there. So if you've got a modern TV or you've got a $35 box, you can get this thing. But so that's part of Apple's ambition is they want to be everywhere with this thing. So right, well, they spread it around everywhere.
I mean, it makes sense because they did the math at one point and said, do we want to maximize services revenue or do we want to maximize Apple TV revenue? Yeah. And the answer is you're going to get a lot more money out of services than Apple's you are out of Apple TV.
Apple's not paying billions of dollars for episodes of C
to make you buy a box.
To make you buy an Apple TV.
That's not their goal.
Right? Like that's not what they're doing. And then secondarily, I would say they also want to improve the general experience of their devices. I would argue this is basically an iPhone thing, but it's also an iPad thing and a Mac thing to a certain degree, which is putting AirPlay on all of these streamers. So that I had somebody say to me, well, you know, we use Apple TV in education because it allows teachers to AirPlay their displays to a projector. I'm like, well, that's good, but that they weren't buying $175 Apple TVs in a world where you could buy a $30 box that also would do that feature. They bought it back when that was an exclusive feature. And this is my point, is a cash-strapped school today who's looking for a box that does AirPlay is going to buy a $20 Roku box, not a $179 Apple TV, because it does AirPlay. And Apple, once again, Apple wants AirPlay to accumulate value to the iPhone and iPad and Mac, not be a barrier that requires purchase of an Apple TV. Like that is not their priority. And so those features have bled away from the Apple TV, which leaves us in this position of, well, what
is the Apple TV?
Why is the
Apple TV?
Right. Why does it exist at all? And if it's going to continue to exist, what are they going to do? And I would argue they need to cut the price and add features. That's what they need to do. They need to make it something else. And this all started bobbing around my head because I went away for the weekend. Last weekend, we went to a friend's vacation rental and sat alone in our house, in someone else's house instead of in our house, and got takeout from different restaurants. That was basically, you know, again, it's COVID. It got us out of the house. It was nice. But they had a Roku TV or a TCL TV with Roku on it. And I just AirPlayed stuff to it. And it was great. I mean, like, we watched the Super Bowl on YouTube TV running on the device, on the TV. But I also just AirPlayed music to it. And we listened to music and all of that. And that struck me, along with Ben Thompson and John Gruber talking about it on Dithering. They sort of said, well, what if they make it into like Apple TV Arcade, and they really lean into the processor power, graphics power, controller stuff, and make it kind of like, say, this is, you know, TV and games and entertainment console, and like, that's a way to sell it. I don't buy it, but that would be a way to sell it.
I actually don't think they'll do that.
but failing that, what do they do? And I started to think about like HomeKit. It was an example where like HomeKit and HomeKit radios, if they ever, and again, I don't think they're going to do this, but even though I think they should, if they ever wanted to do an Eero-like kind of like a new form of airport, one of the things people are like, well, that it could be the base station. I'm like, well, it could be, but a lot of people don't have their TV and their cable modem essentially within cord distance of one another, which is what you'd need for that. So, you know, but maybe it's part of a network, and then you can also buy other little hubs, and including one that attaches, and you could build a mesh network. Imagine that you've got an Apple router attached to your cable modem, and then you've got an Apple TV. Well, it picks it up on its radio, and it extends your Wi-Fi, and it's part of this Apple mesh network. Like, I could see their new home people who've been on the job for a couple of years rolling out something where the Apple TV and the HomePod mini and stuff like that are all part of a new strategy that is more coherent than what Apple was doing before. So I had that on my list as a way to make the Apple TV have like more reason to buy one over just a cheap video streamer. And there are other reasons that people came up with, but that was one that I immediately thought, like, well, there's an opportunity. It goes back to the same thing you and I have talked about a lot, which is, wow, it seems like Apple has just bypassed this whole opportunity in the home and misplayed the whole HomeKit thing and abandoned some obvious places where they could add value.
Yeah, I think that makes a certain amount of sense. I'm not convinced that they see it there
neither.
Yet. But I agree with you that sounds like something that's potentially more compelling. I think, you know, we've talked about this a bunch before, but I think that the mesh networking thing, I feel like they really missed an opportunity there because it kind of exploded, you know, a few years after Apple got out of the airport business. And it is a field that is now dominated essentially by, you know, a subsidiary of Amazon from the consumer part of the market. And there are other options, but I think Eero has a lot of name brand recognition, and that's why Amazon bought it. And, you know, the fact that we all have so many devices, like if I go on my Eero app and I look at like the list of devices connected, there are an insane amount of devices connected to my network. And I live in predominantly a 1,000-foot square apartment. And there's like 30 or 40 devices. It's bananas. And I feel like Apple is a company that so much likes to control your whole experience and offer you this soup-to-nuts solution. And it seems like one big part that's missing, especially when combined with the fact that, you know, considering smart home tech, we're bringing in even more technology that needs to connect to a network. You know, and we've talked about a lot of different things that Apple could play to here in terms of things like privacy and security and all of those aspects. I don't know if that has anything to do with where they're seeing the TV going, but I just, the gaming thing, you know, we've talked about this a lot before too. I firmly believe that the iOS's success in gaming is a fluke, and that Apple has never really known how to deal with it, and has tried to sort of capitalize on it with very mixed results. So I'm not convinced that they would go out there saying, we're going to make this great game box. And I'm just also not convinced that people would buy it, because I think you're kind of squeezed out by, on the one hand, you've got the high-powered game consoles that certainly have an addressable market. And on the other hand, you've got the mobile devices on which people are already playing their games. And if the sell is play the game you're playing on your iPhone or your iPad, but play it on a big screen with a controller, I'm not sure that's compelling for a lot of people, and certainly not for a lot of games, because there are games that have been developed to play really well on iOS devices that won't translate that much to the Apple TV. And if you're going to design a game that plays really well on the Apple TV, it probably won't play super well on the smartphone or the tablet. So I feel like you just end up with these compromises all over the place, and I just don't think it'll be successful. I could be wrong, but I just don't think that.
Well, Apple's track record here has not...
It's bad.
It's not good. And I think I will always hear... This is the thing that I learned last night after writing this article, is a lot of people will say, well, no, it's not true because I do it. And the big issue is sort of like, well, you can play games on the Apple TV, but is games on the Apple TV enough to make it worth existing and putting effort into it on Apple's part and having it be a successful product? And that's the challenge, is that it's very easy for everybody to say, well, I use it for this and I use it for that. But if you look at the market share, and I know market share is not everything, but Apple's market share of the TV streamer market is basically nothing at this point, because it's so much more expensive that the only people who have it are people who bought it 3 years ago and are using it for a very specific purpose, and or they really like a very specific feature. But the problem is that a feature that appeals to more than 1% of the market? I think that's the thing, is yes. You saying you're not a believer in Apple building a game thing and having the Apple TV be seen as a game thing, I agree with you. I know Apple's track record in games, and I just don't think it's ever going to be successful at that. Even if they really leaned into it, I don't think it would ever be successful for the reasons that you described. I think you did a good job. It's like, essentially, their strength is because of the ubiquity of the iPhone. And so you can play iPhone games on the Apple TV, but they're going to be iPhone games. They're always going to be iPhone games. My point, though, my larger point is, just because you can play games on the Apple TV doesn't mean that people are going to play games on the Apple TV, right?
Right.
It's not an answer to say, well, I do it. And it's like, well, okay, you do it, but most people don't. Yeah, and when you're buying a box, they're not going to do it. Yeah.
And I bet they're very low, because I think there's a handful of games that people are like, oh, this plays pretty well on this. But I don't think people go back repeatedly for new games.
And it's not to say that there aren't good game experiences on the Apple TV.
It always felt like something that got shoveled in later. Like, you know, the Apple TV was designed to be a set-top box, and it was designed to be something you watched content on.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we could stick a chip in this, and, you know, it had an A8 in it. Does it have it at 10 or something now? I don't remember. But it's like, hey, we got an A-level chip in here. It's basically an iOS device. Like, it could play games. And you're like, all right, yeah, like, how much work would it take for us to implement games on here? Yeah, probably not that much. All right, let's just do that. Let's throw it in there. And it's like, yeah, that was never going to be your primary methodology there. There was a good article, I don't remember where I saw it, but just the other day, talking about Amazon's attempt to get into gaming and how they, like, threw all this money and resources at building, like, a, you know, a free-to-play game or whatever. And it just tanked. It just tanked. And the answer was, because you couldn't design, they went in being like, let's make a hit game, not like, let's make a game, like, we're really passionate about games. It was, the gaming market is huge, let's make a hit game. And it turns out that's not a great methodology for building a compelling game.
No.
And, you know, lots of our friends who work and have worked in the game industry, you know, will tell you that, like, it's hard, right? Like, it's a hard industry to be in. It's very competitive. It has a lot of problems. And, you know, in this case, I think it was also being headed up, that their game division was being headed up by someone who had basically no games experience, you know, was like a business person with no games experience. It's like, they kind of thought they could just do it because they've been very successful at other things. And I think, again, with Apple, I think Apple was always surprised at how much gaming caught on iOS. I don't think it was ever something that they intended to be huge on there. But, you know, it turned out that the platform they made was really good and just timed really well for where people were. But yeah, it's not, you can go back and look at Apple's history with gaming over the last 40 years. It is tortuous. It is, there's a lot of ins and outs. There's a lot of almost could have beens. And, you know, there have been some eras where there've been some good games on Apple platforms, but it's never something that they have really embraced in the way that they've embraced other stuff, right? Like, I've always said, Steve Jobs loved music. He loved music. He loved album art, right? Like, he talked about all these things he loved. And, you know, not to say Apple always did great at that, but, like, they leaned hard into it. And because he cared about it, I think that helped. I think that made it compelling. Yep. Nobody at the high level of Apple cares that much about games. Nobody. You can see it from every game demo that you've ever seen on stage, where
here's
they always
these guys
seem
with
like
this stuff.
They're grinning, you know. They got the gritted teeth. Out. They're smiling. Yeah, the kids are loving this game.
This
you know,
thing, whatever like, this is here.
Whatever
it's just all
it
pops
is.
Pops and whistles to me, but whatever. They seem to like it. With the Mario and the jumping and the boop boop.
Yep.
Uh huh.
They don't get it.
Yeah, Apple's success in gaming is all has all been accidental, and that's you know, that's just how it is. And anyway, you know, the real thing is, we live in a world where you can get a 4K streaming device that does AirPlay and Apple TV for cheap. And then there's the Apple TV, and it's like, all right, well, now what? And I don't know what that is. I don't know why that product exists. Again, everybody can call up their favorite feature, and it's like, okay, but like, this is a platform maintained by Apple, and they want people to develop software for it. And for it to be successful, it needs to have users, right? We can talk about market share not mattering, but it needs to have users. And I think part of the problem is that it's so not compelling as a product in terms of its price and the fact that it hasn't been updated in 3 years, that makes the software platform less compelling. Because I'll tell you, if these things were flying off the shelves, there would be more interesting games and interesting stuff on the Apple TV than there is. But what's there is, I would argue, largely an effect of 3 years ago when they announced it, and of the future TV is apps announcement and all of that, right? And then since then, it's just sort of coasting. And there are rumors that there's going to be a new version, which is fine, like new processor, great. But like, if it's faster and still costs 179, I don't see how it's gonna sell well at all.
And how does speed matter? Like, that's the question. Yeah. Is this in some ways
speed and
the
size
devices,
right?
It's incredibly overpowered for what it is.
For what it is, yeah.
Like, I mean, this feels like very much an Apple thing, right? It's like they like put a Ferrari engine in a Ford Taurus.
Because they make, right? Because they make a Ferrari engine, so they can just toss it
they're
in.
They're like, just throw it in. It'll work great. It's like, it is, but it's more than you need.
It's not a bad product in the sense that it is a premium product. It does do Dolby Atmos and it does HDR, which, you know, I keep saying, it's a $35 box from Roku. But if you want HDR and high quality audio in that, it's $99, right? It's still a lot less, but it's a lot more. So, and it is using that horsepower to do like smooth animations. It's like, I get it. It's not that they aren't making what I would say is like a good product. In a lot of ways, it's just, you know, it is untouched in years and it's way more expensive than the competition. And I'm not saying Apple needs to make something that's crappy. And I'm not saying Apple needs to make something that costs what a Roku costs, but it's five times the price, right? It's just so far out of scale that it's never going to sell to anyone but the most committed Apple platform user. And that's not a very... That's not a big enough, I would argue, not a big enough market because
right. I mean,
that's a niche of a popular company,
exactly.
Right? But it's like such a very small slice who's like, well, I have a single use for it or I'm only going to buy Apple stuff. It's like, great, but that's not going to make the product a hit. It's going to make the product an afterthought.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Ferrari problem again, which is most people don't buy a Ferrari for driving to the grocery store, which is what most people are doing with their streaming devices. They are watching TV. You don't need a Ferrari for that. It's fine. Like most people, some people might want one. Great. Enjoy. Buy, etc. But it is much more expensive than buying a cheap car that will still get to the grocery store. So end of the day, I think, you know, fundamentally, the thing is, this is a category of devices that are predominantly designed to do one thing and to do that thing well. And Apple, in its traditional fashion, looked at something as like, could we make it do a lot more? And the answer is yes, but most people may not want that. And that's fine if you're comfortable with, only appealing to that section of the market. But it's never going to be the big chunk of the market. It just isn't. Because, you know, most people, all those things that you just listed are great. Most people don't care about them. Most people just want to watch their shows. And most people are watching things, you know, it's like a lot of people are stepping up from watching stuff on a laptop with laptop speakers. You know, Dolby Atmos is, it's like, whoa, that's awesome. But, like, you also got to have a setup that takes advantage of that. Like,
exactly.
I consider myself fairly tech savvy, and yeah, I buy a lot of equipment and stuff. Like, but my TV is like 4 or 5 years old; it's not even 4K. Like, I'm using an older Apple TV on it, and it's great. I like it a lot, but I'm not even getting the most out of it. I'm using it because I bought it 4 years ago, and still, it's the best one I've got. But yeah, I just it's tough. It's a tough market because it's largely been commoditized, and because everybody buying TVs these days, as you said, not only has, you know, the Apple TV app, but they have all the other apps too, right? Like, so
exactly.
Yeah, you know, my parents, I gave them my old, I think I bought them a 4K one because they bought a 4K TV. And, you know, trying to explain to them the difference between watching stuff on the Apple TV and using the apps built in on the smart TV, it's just, it's just beyond them a lot of times. It's confusing. Like, and I get it. I mean, that is, we could wrap all the way back around to, well, maybe what Apple needs to do is build a really great TV.
Oh, yeah.
With the platform on it. And Gene Munster has just perked up his ears somewhere. But, you know, it's not as ludicrous an idea as it felt like 5 or 6 years ago. Because... sure, okay, I can see that. If you felt like, really, this is the platform we want to build, and we want to show TV in the best quality we can do, and we're going to build in all this great, like, we're going to build in the 4K and the HDR, and we're going to have the Dolby Atmos, you can buy some sound bars or something, like, all right, I can see that being potentially compelling. You know, it's not, again, it's not going to be a high-margin product, and it's not going to be a product that people buy and upgrade every year. But, you know, they've made more and more of those products that people don't upgrade every year. So maybe it's not ludicrous. I don't know.
The other thing that I heard from a bunch of people, and again, it's sort of valid, but sort of not, is privacy. So I heard from a lot of people, and this is Apple's constant marketing of like, I trust Apple. Apple's in the business of selling me a product. They're not in the business of reselling my information. And that's true. And I do think that, that is a reason to buy Apple products in general, is that. However, a couple of things. First off, they tend to cite these articles that they saw streaming by that reinforced their existing belief about this and say, well, all of those things just are sold for a loss and then they sell your data, which is like, I saw those stories too. I'm not sure they were entirely accurate. I had several people tell me, well, Roku just sells all your data and watches what you're watching. And I was like, okay, it's way more complicated than that. And in fact, it sounds like most of these services have a data collection system that again, what are they using it for? We could talk about like how I think even how privacy, they're selling your data is often overstated. Not always, but often overstated to a certain degree. But if I grant that, I will tell you also that, for example, I have a Roku box and a Roku TV. There's a checkbox that turns off tracking and all observation of what you're watching. Is it on by default? Yes, it is. Yep. And that's not great. But you turn it off. And I have not personally done network monitoring, but I have looked for articles that blow the doors off of the lies that it actually opts you out, and there aren't any. It seems to me like any attempt that people have looked, or I would assume that if it was all a lie, there would be stories about how it's all a lie. Yeah, so
that would be very risky too, right?
Exactly. that would be bad. So you can turn that off and then it isn't tracked. So there's a lot of like, well, I spent five times what that box cost to get this one because I didn't want to check that box. It's like, okay, I mean, I get it. Yes, Apple has a brand promise that makes sense for you, but you could also just uncheck the box. And then the bigger issue is, again, to back it out, most people are just going to say, what do I need to watch Ted Lasso? And the answer is you get this thing for $35 and you can watch Ted Lasso on your TV. That's the end of it. It never goes beyond that.
Yeah. The privacy thing, I think, too, while there are always valid concerns about this and you should be aware of these things, I find the privacy side of the, what TV am I watching to be probably the most innocuous. Like, I'm much more concerned about data, being stored on my smartphone, where it's like everything in my life is on my smartphone, yeah, right? Or my computer. Everything in my life goes on my computer. I am very concerned about that. I want to make sure that information is private and secure and all of that. What movies I'm watching? Yeah, okay, I can understand why some people don't like that.
Sure.
It's fine as long as the option's there. I don't particularly care. You can know what movies and TV I'm watching.
I opted out. I opted out.
It's fine. If it's easy, sure.
But it doesn't seem quite as vital. It's true. It's true.
I'm less concerned.
And another one that's actually, this is a case where I think it shows just how Netflix has kneecapped Apple and Apple's strategy is... Several people said they love the TV app because the TV app integrates all the services they subscribe to, and they have an Up Next list, and they have all of that. And they're absolutely right. And my response to them is, yeah, but I use Netflix, and it doesn't integrate, so it's not a view of all my stuff. And as a result, Apple's original intent was really that the TV app takes over everything. And in fact, I think by default, the TV button goes to the TV app. Like, it's all part of the plan. And then Netflix is like, yeah, we're not going to share any data with you. And the TV app being on the other devices, it doesn't do that, right? It's not tracking other things that happen on the box. It can't. It's just doing its own little TV app. So it's not Apple TV. That is an advantage of Apple TV. And it's funny because that's one of those things where Netflix is like, nope, we don't want you to disintermediate us from our audience. And I totally understand that, right? Because if you're Netflix, your argument is, we're Netflix. We are the big dog. We don't need Apple's help. In fact, we don't want Apple mixing our stuff with other stuff,
right? Yeah.
Because we want to be the interface for everything. And even though that is a little bit customer hostile, I would say, I understand why they have that approach.
They have the 800-pound gorilla. Yeah. I mean, like, they want you to be paging through like thing after thing of Netflix trying to figure out what to watch, right? Like, that's the model. That's what they're doing.
They do. They don't want to compete. They don't want to compete in a universe of entertainment. They want to be the universe of entertainment.
Right,
and exactly. I understand that, but I also understand Apple's point, which is basically like that. Get real. get real, especially for people who are using an Apple TV. They're not just using it to watch Netflix. So, you know, come and join us out here. But I think it's a really good point that, that the TV app is compelling. And if you don't use Netflix, which is somebody, I guess, then, you know, it really does have value. And I am sometimes in the TV app and am reminded of how a pretty good job it does of aggregating that stuff. But then there are missing pieces.
It's pretty good. I hate that Netflix is missing. And then every once in a while, like, there are certain apps that don't play well with it. It'll show me an episode that I've already watched, or it does that thing. Disney Plus is actually a pretty big offender here because they have like 7 minutes of credits after their shows now. And like, I stopped after, like, when the credits start, like, got to the third level of credits, right?
Keep
like the
watching.
Translation.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're almost done with this episode. I'm like, I am done with that episode. Deal with it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not to say that there aren't things that they still do that are unique. That's not my point. Mm-hmm. The software, I was watching the Australian Open last night after having written this story and having everybody yell at me for saying, how dare I suggest that the Apple TV maybe needs more of a reason to exist. And the ESPN app is great. It has multi-views. You can watch because, you know, they don't make TVs with picture-in-picture anymore. And although tvOS has a picture-in-picture view, most of the apps on it don't support it, which is very frustrating. It's great. And so Major League Baseball has a two-up view, I think. ESPN app has a two-up, three-up, one big and three small, and a four rectangles view, a grid view. And the Australian Open is on right now, and that happens in the evening, West Coast time. It's great. I like that there is a sport I'm interested on at that time. This is tennis. And ESPN has the rights to that, so they have feeds from every court. And so for the last few nights, I've been watching four, you know, I put a four up grid on my TV using the Apple TV ESPN app. And then sort of zipping back and forth, they go to a commercial, I pop back out, go to a different court, pop back in. You know, you click to zoom and then it fills your screen, and then you press the menu button and it zooms back out into the grid. Or you can move around, and whichever one you've got selected, the audio from that one comes up. It's really well done. And I thought, now this is an example of a platform that has enough power and probably a strong enough programming environment that this kind of thing is possible. And that's an advantage, because I would say that you're not going to see that probably on a low powered Roku. You're only going to see something like that on a PlayStation or an Xbox. But
there's a big but.
We'll compare butts. Hey, everybody. my butt is, but what is ESPN's motivation to do iOS specific work and tvOS specific work? If it's a tiny, you know, fringe device, if you want great software on this platform, sell more boxes and get more great software. Because I agree, the potential for really, really, really good interactive TV experiences on Apple TV is great. But I'll also point out that with all that power, Netflix never bothered to even make their interactive programming available on Apple TV. You have to go to a lower powered, dumber box, or to like an iPad if you want to watch the, you know, Bandersnatch, the Black Mirror interactive story, for example, because they just never bothered. Because honestly, it's not that important a platform to Netflix. They just need to be there. And that says something, right? Apple wants that platform to be important, I think. And Apple TV users should want that too, because even though market share doesn't matter, if nobody's using the product, nobody's going to do the effort to make those great experiences on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where I was going to go. I was going to say, I mean, look at all the Hulu and Netflix and all of these. They've spent a lot of time standardizing their UI to their service, right? It used to be, if you went back to look at way back in the old days of the Apple TV, right? Like Apple kind of had a template almost for streaming apps, where every app on the Apple TV was kind of the same. It like had the same menu structure and the same layout. And Apple was thinking, aha, we are going to dictate the UI of like what this experience is like for everybody, so that no matter if you go to Hulu or Netflix or whatever, it's going to look the same. And pretty soon, all those companies were like, but like we have our own way that we want to do this, and we want to unify our platform across all the different devices, right? Like, we're the platform, Netflix says. We want to make it so when you go to your iOS device or your tvOS or your Roku or the web or whatever, you get the Netflix interface. And so trying to design something that only works on tvOS... even if it may be, I mean, the biggest argument for it is the amount of crossover that you get between tvOS and iOS, right? Like, that's the biggest thing in Apple's favor there, is saying, hey, if you implement this on iOS, it's, you know, we make it a snap to do it on tvOS too. But it clearly hasn't paid off, like, because all these companies don't want to do the work because it's a lot cheaper for them to maintain it if it basically is kind of the same on all the platforms, right? That's much less work and much less money for them.
I don't know. Rumors are that there is a new Apple TV box coming. And, you know, I think for me, as is obvious, my questions are not, is it faster or does it have more storage? My questions are, does it do new things that make people want to buy it? And what's the price? And is it a price where people will consider it? Because what you want to do is price it low enough that when people look at the competition, they say, well, that's cheap, because it's Apple, right? That's cheaper, but it doesn't do X. And a thing that came up yesterday that I'll throw in here too is that there is an example of something that Apple has done recently that makes the Apple TV more compelling, and it's Fitness Plus, right?
Yeah.
That's a good example. They put the fitness app on there. It's you know, got your live streaming heart data and stuff like that. And although you are going to be able to AirPlay Fitness Plus to other devices, it sounds like it's not going to, you'll have to look down at your watch for your stats. It's not going to AirPlay the stats. I suspect that's because to do that, they would need to re-encode the video with the overlay, because you have to send a video stream. And I think it's actually a real, like, a technical reason why it's a lot of overhead to do that. But, you know, and you've got it on your watch anyway. But, like, that's a good example of, like, oh, they put a new thing on the pile. They took these huge features away, but that's one example. I think they need more, but that's one. So I guess we'll see. We went all this way without even saying, you know, the report card people gave the Apple TV an F for last year. So,
for good reason.
I appreciate people's enthusiasm about their Apple TVs. I use my Apple TV every day, but it, you know,
as do I, but yes, I see all the flaws, right? And again, if it died tomorrow and I had to replace it with another box, Fitness Plus is probably the thing that would tip me over the edge to potentially getting an Apple TV again. But I might just buy something that I can AirPlay it to, right? Because they're going to add the AirPlay support. I don't know. It's a tough sell. It's a tough sell.
What else? Anything else going on? I don't know.
It's been a little quiet. You know, it's the winter. I feel like, likely that Apple will announce some stuff whenever 14.5 arrives. I kind of feel like it seems maybe like it's timed to show up near an Apple event or something, but I don't know. I mean, probably not till March.
Yeah, it sounds like the tea leaves are suggesting that if there's an Apple event, it'll be in March. And that's fine. I you know, I'm still recovering from all those Apple events in the fall. They take their time. Take your time, Apple. Take your time.
There was a lot. It's too much.
It's fine. All right. Well, you know, the weeks keep coming and they don't stop coming.
Whoa. Oh, God, I'm leaving.
Buddy might do a podcast later. But anyway, that is, we were right on the precipice there. We'll be
almost
back next week.
Almost got smash mouthed.
We almost did, but we didn't. We dodged it at the end there. Thank you to everybody for supporting Six Colors. If you aren't in the Six Colors member Slack, try it out. It's good. You just log into your account and there's a link there and you can get an invite. And we'll be back next week. Whether we're on Skype or not remains to be seen. We were on Skype this week. We're using Call Recorder, the dead app that still works, but it's still dead. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.